The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Some people expect solutions to be expensive to be effective. This is not true. Everyone needs somebody who can be supportive and a guide. You'll find the answers you're looking for and the tools to both find answers and offer solutions on the Dr. Melanie Show. Now, here's your host, Dr. Melanie Barton.
Welcome to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. Did you know that 1 in 7 girls in developing countries is married by the time she is 15 in an arranged marriage? Well, educating girls is the key to a just and stable community around the globe. If you are in the listening audience and you've been able to achieve your education through the help of someone and you live in a developing country, would you please tell me your story? Email me at drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Today, Della Fahnenstock and Vicki Poole will share with us how they're making a difference in the lives of 80 to 100 girls a year in Kenya through the Alliance Education Fund. So stay tuned for the whole show so you can find out how you can help. So first, Della, welcome.
Thank you. Dr. Melanie, it's a pleasure.
Well, I am so glad because we've been planning on this for months and we finally got it all together. So it's good when a plan comes together. What do you call your project? Do you call it a project? Is that the correct term for it?
Well, Alliance Education Fund is an international scholarship fund. Okay. And we provide educational scholarships for girls and women in developing countries. That's our mission. Mm-hmm. Our specific goal is to keep girls in school, and that sounds so simple. But the wealth of United Nations statistics and study after study just indicates that there is an impact on such a wide range of social concerns when we simply keep a girl or a young woman in school. So our target age bracket is the girl who would be entering high school.
Okay.
And that's a crucial period in her life because even if she comes from a family that values education and mm-hmm. values educating daughters, which is very very, very much less likely than educating sons.
Okay.
At ninth grade, a number of things coalesce. She is marriageable by mm-hmm. age and by personal development. Mm-hmm. She's probably 14. And
okay.
a family that could benefit from a dowry would be likely to sell her into a forced or arranged marriage. And
with an older guy,
avoid the extra fees that are required to send children to school in developing countries. So at ninth grade is a crucial pivot point, and that's where we concentrate on finding our students, getting them through high school, and then our goal is to take them one step farther,
okay.
whether that's a trade or college or university program.
Mm-hmm. Now, are the families in agreement with what you're doing to educate these girls, or is it the girls that are saying, I want to do this?
It is, in most cases, it is the family, although we deal with a lot of orphans and a lot of girls who do not have a father or a male guardian present in their lives. One of our students was raised by both parents, and her father was ridiculed for sending Agnes to school at all. And he was told to educate a girl is a waste. So after eighth grade, he refused to undergo that level of social ridicule anymore and just wouldn't send her to school any farther. When she went to him and said, but I have, she met me and she went to her father and said, I have met someone who will send me to school. He reluctantly agreed. And after her high school years were over, she and I talked, and she had a vision of being a journalist. And she went to him again and said, I will have all of my fees paid. I can go to school. And he refused. And he said, absolutely no way. And she persisted and persisted with him. And eventually he said that he would be shamed if his daughter, you know, took on such a, you know, an educational pursuit. So he finally agreed that she could go to school on scholarship only if she studied childhood development or nursery studies. So she did. I mean, these young women will do anything just to have an education, and it's under, you know, they know it's their only way out. So she has finished an associate's degree in early childhood development and education and is working in a primary school now.
And bringing that income back to the family.
That's right. That's right.
So the ridicule he gets is, you know, you're having your daughter work, and yet the money is helping to offset so he doesn't have to have her have a dowry.
Exactly. And I have met with him one time. I sat down to tea with him and really challenged him. I wanted to probe and see how has your attitude changed about education for girls or the status of girls and women in general. And he looked at me square in the eyes and said, you have changed my mind. I was And that was just a, you know, a capstone moment for me.
So maybe she could go on to journalism school.
I am so eager to hear her say that sometime. Get an email from her and say, now I am ready to defy my father, no matter what limitations he might put on me, and pursue that original dream. And now she's old enough to do that on her own.
Well, are women allowed to take care of themselves in that country? I mean, can they live on their own? Can they support themselves? Or is that dangerous to do?
Well, it's not so much a matter of permission, but that the social structure just stacks all the odds against that. Mm-hmm. Women have almost no rights to property or income if there is a male member of her family present. That could be a father, an uncle, a husband, a brother. Domestic situations are such that a man can at any time return home and demand whatever income she has produced. Mm-hmm. And while, you know, she can certainly perhaps be earning enough to support herself, it is just so common that men will come home or to a sister, to a, you know, not just a spouse, but to a woman's home and demand her money and beat her. Domestic violence is very ugly and very rampant in mm-hmm. that cultural context.
But when enough women are educated, they're going to rise up and they're going to no longer allow this to happen, is my belief.
Absolutely. I had a remarkable conversation with about 200 women a number of years ago in the Rift Valley in Kenya, a gathering of women. And after introductions and, you know, presenting ourselves and opening ourselves to a partnership and relationship with these women. We took questions and answers, and the very first woman who stood said, "Do you have gender discrimination in your country?"
Hmm.
And what a profound, you know, cut to the quick question. And it was just a difficult question, because the answer, of course, is yes. And yet I know that the level of discrimination and abuse that she experiences is far worse than the norm experienced in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And she just wanted to know, if you don't, or if it is better for you, tell me how. Tell me how
right.
to change it.
Right, right. I understand that. Now, it really gets under my skin to know that these girls are, their genitalia is mutilated so they'll be pure for marriage. At what age does that happen?
Mm. Female genital mutilation is on the books illegal in Kenya, but it is also rampant. It is practiced. There's a season. It's the month of December when girls are forced, very often by mothers and grandmothers, into this utterly unsanitary situation where they are held down and their genitalia is just cut off, and then they are stitched up and bound for days, and they have to just lie on the ground while they heal. And that is a cultural obstacle that is so hard to break. A girl's value, because she cannot, her social value is almost nothing. She cannot own property. She is not respected among the community. So her value is literally reduced to how much can her dowry bring.
And what age do they do this?
And it happens any time from 6 or 8 years old to 12 or 13 or 14, any time up until the point where she could be offered for her dowry.
And women die.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. There is no sanitation. There's no there's no anesthetic. There's no antiseptic. And yes, the girls are they go into shock. They suffer infections, and many of them die from this. Mm. And so some girls will flee, and there are places that are known among the girls. That are whispered about, that would be a safe haven.
All right, well, let's
go and hide.
Let's take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about that safe haven place, because people around the world need to hear this. So let's go to a break.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
How do you make the right decisions in your life when it comes to your health? By education and proven practices. Tune in to Holistic Therapies with Dr. Jeffrey Kiker. Dr. Jeff will speak to the leading experts in natural health care to help you take charge of your health and well-being. It's a look at the best from alternative health and tested clinical methods designed to give you everything you need to live a better, healthier life. Holistic Therapies can be heard every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Do you have or know someone who has multiple sclerosis, Lyme disease, or any other chronic illness? Advanced Cell Training is a restorative, self-healing modality that I, Dr. Melanie, have had phenomenal results with, reducing physical symptoms I've had for over 20 years. This process can be done right in the comfort of your own home. Request their free DVD at AdvancedCellTraining.com. That's AdvancedCellTraining.com.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Hello, welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. What makes you tune into the whole show? I want to know so that I can encourage others to do the same. Email me at drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. And I want to do a shout out to thank my engineer, Brad Comer, for keeping us on task each week and on time. So today we're talking about the project in Kenya. Della Fonenstock gave up her paid pastoral position to volunteer her time and her money to this cause of educating women in developing countries. Doesn't it make your blood just boil to hear about how girls are mutilated in their genital area to keep them pure for marriage, and how the mothers allow this, sometimes the girls dying as a result of unsanitary conditions? Della, please tell us about these safe houses that these girls can go to.
Thank you. We are committed to two things. One is educating the girls themselves, and the other is forming partnerships with groups in country where that education can be developed and nurtured, and girls can find that safe place to go. Three of our partner organizations in Kenya are safe places where girls can go when it is that season for them to be cut. And our partners are just fantastic groups and organizations that have missions all their own that are just overwhelming. I want to just mention them. Mercy Home Orphanage is a girls' orphanage in western Kenya where the girls are safe from genital mutilation. And they grow up there and have a partnership with Alliance Education Fund. We provide the fees, the funding for them to stay in school through primary and secondary, and then to move on and become the educated women who will raise daughters that do not undergo the threat of mutilation.
So do these girls get to this orphanage because they're orphans, or do families send them there because they want them to be safe? How do they get there?
Well, there are categories of orphanhood, if you will.
Okay.
An orphan who has one parent that has died, but the remaining family members are unable to care for that child, are declared orphans. And then there's also the pure orphan where both parents are dead. But there is a long waiting list regarding Mercy Home Orphanage in particular of children who qualify as orphan or pure orphan, either one, to get into that facility where their education is guaranteed and where they are safe to grow up without certain social threats.
Now, if the girls come during that season and the season's over, you know, they go to the safe place. If they go back home, are they still in danger?
Usually not.
Okay.
Usually the genital mutilation is done. This is a little mind blowing, but it is done as a community that, mothers and grandmothers come out and they have this area, this field where this is, all of this cutting is underdone. So the girls are just taken there forcibly. And then again, in the month of December, the school year is on holiday. So they have a few weeks where they are bound and there is some level of healing that might take place before, they have to begin those daily walks, to school again. And so it is so culturally ingrained that there's actually a time. And if they can avoid that season, in many cases they can return home, you know, and be safe until next year.
Well, if they make it to the time when they're eligible to be married off and they haven't had the procedure done, are they considered impure and then nobody wants to marry them?
Yes.
Oh, good. Yes. That's good.
It's also a condition which can get them killed. They are a shame on their family because they're unmarriageable, which is completely about sexuality.
Okay.
If you are not virginal, then you're not worth much. Mm. And one of our partners is the Umoja Women's Village in central Kenya. And that is a village of women and children specifically founded and sustained by people, by women, who have fled this kind of domestic abuse and violence, who do not want their daughters to undergo genital mutilation, who have been beaten and abused in their homes and have formed this women's village and are a safe haven for children who the mother perhaps has been mutilated but doesn't want her daughter to undergo this. She can take her child there and drop her off at Umoja Village. And she will be safe, and she can be raised there. She will be taken in. They have constructed a simple structure that is their school building, and that is a standout facility in the country that has taken a lot of abuse from the men in the village around them. But mm-hmm. they are committed, and it is now up to 48 members of this village. Plus, I don't know if it's 150, 200 children that reside there too.
But when you go, I would think you're seen as a threat to their normal operating procedures. So are you in jeopardy when you go there?
Oh, I am quite the contrary. I've been just welcomed as a ray of hope.
By the men, too?
I'm sorry?
By the men, too?
Not in Umoja Village. And we get there and we enter the village and we are part of their support structure. But let me point out that as a white-skinned international person, the country of Kenya has as its number one industry tourism. So the government is highly invested in keeping international tourists very safe.
Okay.
And while the women of the village and the young women that are seeking education and growth in their own communities are far at higher risk than I am, because it is known that locally, if the men would have ideas of abuse or violence against us, they will suffer a severe penalty for hurting an international person.
That
would
I
be
see.
Overlooked if they simply, you know, beat up local women of their own community.
Okay. Well, so, before, go ahead.
So we have to be cautious about how we do things and respectful of the circumstance, but we are actually far safer than those women who live there day to day.
Good. Well, before we run out of the time component here for your part of the interview, let's tell the listening audience about the safari and how they can be involved in the project.
Okay. Alliance Education Fund has pledged from the very beginning that 100% of our donation dollars goes to scholarships, goes directly to our student scholarships. So we take zero percentage for overhead or operational costs out of your donation dollar.
Mm.
In order to accomplish that, we do need to fund our operation. And part of our oversight of the scholarship funding and the students advancement through their scholarships is that I go every year, twice a year, to visit with them personally. And we realized very early on that that annual and semi-annual visit was a great way to get other people interested in our program, to see the work that we're doing, and in fact, to become very supportive donors of the program. So we've turned that into a tour. And we offer twice a year in January and July safari tours that are part humanitarian outreach. We do a service project. This year we are going to Umoja Village and we're helping to construct bookshelves and we're taking in children's books for their school. Mm. And you get to meet the girls that are our students, hear their testimonies, hear from them how their life is changing, and to be, a role model to them for what's available in the world. These are folks who, you know, haven't seen much of the world. In fact, haven't seen much of their own country.
Okay.
And then the tour ends, of course, with a safari, which both is just a remarkable life, you know, sort of once in a lifetime bucket list adventure. To see the amazing scenery and wildlife in Kenya. But it also draws that dichotomy between what the government has as its number one industry, tourism, versus the real lives of many Kenyans who have never even seen one of their own national parks.
Hmm.
So it's a wonderful, amazing experience. And we run these tours, and it is a fundraising, our only fundraising event, and that is how we operate Alliance okay. Education Fund, from the proceeds of these tours.
All right. Well, Della, thank you so much for doing this work and for letting the world hear about it. And I'm hoping that people will come back after the break so they can hear how they can help this program to reach and educate the world. So thank you, Della.
Thank you.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you living your vital life? One that is showcasing you at your full potential? There are many issues that stand in the way of most people achieving their full potential. We will discuss these issues and how to overcome them each week on The Vital Life, Awakening Your Full Potential, with host Dr. Carolyn Coker Ross. Living the vital life often requires that we trust our own intuitive voice, and that we view illness or life challenges as calls to action, to reconnect with the deeper urges of our spirit or soul. Tune in Fridays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Step up to the microphone. View the finalists right now on VoiceAmericaKids.tv. America's next great star is waiting to be discovered. Step Up to the Microphone is an exclusive presentation for VoiceAmerica.tv, where you can see and hear America's next top child star. The program is hosted by Voice America's own Cassie Frazier, and new episodes will be available every week exclusively at VoiceAmericaKids.tv. You can say you saw them at the beginning of their superstar career. Tune in to VoiceAmericaKids.tv.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. We have been learning about the Alliance Education Fund that's helping girls in Kenya to get educated, to get out of the trauma situation that they've grown up in. And Vicky Poole, my next guest, went on one of the safaris, and she got a unique idea of a way that she could help. So I want you to listen and to find out how you can help in what she's doing. So welcome, Vicki.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, I'm glad. And for those that are just tuning in, the website that they can go to for them to get the information, you want to give them that website?
Sure. It is www.allianceeducation.org.
Okay.
If they just do a search on, you know, their search engine, they'll find it.
Mm-hmm. And it's alliance-education.org.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
Correct.
All right. Well, good. Well, I hope that after today's show, not while we're talking now, but after today's show, that people will go check it out.
That would be awesome.
Yes. So when did you first become involved in going on a safari or getting involved in this project?
Well, I met Della through our church, which supports the orphanage Mercy Home that
mm-hmm.
she spoke of. And after learning that the Alliance Education also had connections to the orphanage, I became really interested in both.
Hmm.
I learned that the Alliance Education sponsored the education of young women and girls in East Africa and thought this education is extremely important for the girls, especially in these countries. So after learning more, I wanted to support any way I could.
And so, how did you do that?
So, I went on my first trip in December of 2009
mm-hmm.
and I just couldn't get enough, so I took a second trip in April of last year.
Okay.
And during my first visit there, I saw, you know, firsthand how the education of these women and girls gave them confidence for their futures.
Mm-hmm.
Gave them a sense of self-worth and taught them that there were other choices in life besides getting married and having children. And it allowed them the chance to actually be someone.
Yeah. Yeah. You just rarely get to see the fruits of your labors when you're helping someone. In this situation, you get to see it.
Yes. Yes.
And it's not a one-time accomplishment. It's an ongoing kind of thing with each of the women.
Exactly. Yes.
And
it's just an amazing, mm-hmm. amazing thing to watch.
And you're helping them so they can in turn help those who come after them. So it's not just you and Della and the other people in the organization having to do all the work.
Yes.
It's like you're teaching them to help themselves.
That's correct. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. So is the Mercy Orphanage, is that only by the United Church, or is it just interdenominational or not connected with any church?
Mercy Home is not, they're connected with several organizations, a few churches, Della's organization, there's an organization from England, and so they're supported by a few different places.
That's good. So it's not just one source that if
right.
something happened to that
yeah.
source. So that's a good
exactly.
idea.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So tell our listeners what idea you got and the special program that you're doing to help out with this.
Okay. I'm in charge of a laptop program.
Mm-hmm.
The program originated from the thought that if a graduate student had their own laptop, their job opportunities would be much more accessible. The laptop would give them a resource for their job search, mm-hmm. give them a broader range for employment rather than just in their local surrounding area.
Mm-hmm.
For them, owning a laptop also gives flexibility. They can use it as an income source. For example, they may use their computer to generate documents for another student or do an internet search for someone without a laptop. And mm-hmm. doing that allows them to charge for their time and any materials they've used. And then, you know, because their internet, you know, obviously costs them like it does us, they can
right.
put those charges back into, you know, buying more time.
Mm-hmm. How readily accessible is the internet? Is it just in certain locations or is it pretty much everywhere?
They actually have a pretty cool situation. They, unlike us, they use their 3G network just out there in the air. And
oh.
so, So they have these USB dongles that they hook up to their laptops, and they can be, you know, in their home. They can be sitting outside, pretty much anywhere. You know, as long as they're getting a signal, they have the internet.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good.
Yeah, great.
So, when you got involved in doing this, often we're changed as a result of the people we help.
Yeah.
How has doing this work impacted on you?
Oh, my goodness. touching the lives of others, and it's a win-win situation. You know, like my mission is that I've always felt compelled to serve wherever and, you know, whenever possible to give. If I can help in any way to change a life by giving something of myself, then I'm fulfilling my life journey.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that by touching another person, no matter the way, together we can experience that life. And that joins us as one. And, you know, so any burdens that any of us have feel lighter. And I think that, you know, with the laptop program, they get these laptops. It makes them feel good that they have this tool. And for me, it's just so joyous to see their faces when they actually receive one, but to know that they have another tool to further their life, and their education is just, there are words can't explain.
Mm-hmm. Well, how much is there a safety factor if they have this laptop and they're going somewhere like to a job interview? There's a risk that somebody's going to come along and try to take it from them, I would think, because if women aren't allowed to be educated and they've got this tool that's going to help them, people are going to feel threatened by that. So is that an issue?
You know, that's a really good question. I would think that there could be, you know, some safety issues there. I would think that it may depend on how they carry them, you know, whether they have them in a backpack. Obviously, mm-hmm. if they're in a laptop bag, you know, folks are going to know that they're carrying a laptop. I've not heard of any issues with that yet, but I'm sure that would be a factor.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know Dell and I talked earlier about a woman who was on her way to a job interview and had her documents stolen.
Yes.
And that the organization was able to get duplicates of that.
Yes. Yeah.
But that's costly to do that.
Yes, absolutely.
But fear is a great factor that motivates people that they don't want change because they think that it's uncharted territory and they don't know what's going to happen.
Right. Right.
So if the woman gets power and she can make decisions mm-hmm. because she has the money to do so, you know, the men are going to feel threatened that
sure.
their stability is being taken away.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can understand it. It doesn't mean you agree with it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Can you tell us a story of somebody that you personally know has had such a change in her life as a result of you, this organization, being involved?
For me, I can share an experience I had that moved me about one of the students that was seeking education.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there are so many stories. But while I was on my first tour, we met a young woman who was seeking sponsorship for the university, and she had a disability, and she lived her life in her wheelchair. She was missing both legs and only had partial use of one of her arms. Her parents abandoned her, basically left her to die. That's what happens when, you know, when someone has a disability.
And, mm-hmm.
But her uncle stepped up and saved her.
Mm.
And so while trying to support his family, and I believe he had young children, he made sure that she finished her Form 4, which is equal to our 12th grade schooling. So for further education, you know, she wanted to go, you know, and further her education. She had huge hurdles, though, to overcome, because in Kenya, unlike the United States, not all universities have elevators or handicap mm-hmm. ramps, you know, those kind of things. There's so many obstacles. For me, just thinking about all of the logistics of how she would get to class and who would help her move around on campus were overwhelming. But she is a strong, strong young lady with a will to achieve. And so words cannot explain how I felt when we left her that day, knowing how much she wanted her dream to come true. And actually, up until this very week, her future was still unknown.
Mm-hmm.
But I just learned from Della that she's been granted a scholarship through the Alliance Education, and she'll start classes at Kenyatta University in Nairobi for her bachelor's degree in special education this September.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's tremendous, tremendous.
It can move you to tears.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And you just don't know the total impact by one act of helping someone, how that's going to have a domino effect on many people.
Right, right. It's just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I think this is a good point for us to take a break, and I want people to stay tuned, because when we come back, we're going to talk about how you can help by donating your old laptop. So let's go to a break and come back.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
March is Social Worker Month, a time to remember social work heroes like Nobel Prize winner Jane Addams, Secretary of Labor Frances Perkins, and civil rights leaders Dorothy Height and Whitney Young. They all helped make this nation great. You can too. If you're a professional social worker, the National Association of Social Workers provides a unique network of your peers. If you're thinking about becoming a social worker, NASW resources can help you explore your options. Social work is the profession of hope. Do you have or know someone who has multiple sclerosis, Lyme disease, or any other chronic illness? Advanced cell training is a restorative self-healing modality that I, Dr. Melanie, have had phenomenal results with, reducing physical symptoms I've had for over 20 years. This process can be done right in the comfort of your own home. Request their free DVD at advancedcelltraining.com. That's advancedcelltraining.com.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to The Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. Do you have an old laptop that you'd like to donate to a worthy cause to help these girls in Kenya get educated? I want you to please listen so you can find out how to do that, and you can really make a huge impact on these girls' lives. So we're talking with Vicki Poole about her refurbishing laptop program through AllianceEducation.org. So can you please tell the listening audience, Vicki, what the Facebook address is?
Sure. It's Alliance Education. Just do a search in the top search bar, and you'll find us at, you know, Alliance Education.
Okay. So they can like you on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So tell our listening audience, if they have a laptop and they'd like to donate it, how do they do that?
Okay. There are several different ways. We try to take working laptops, and so anyone can contact me via my email, which is laptops@alliance-education.org. They can do it either, they can also do it via our website, or I do have a number that they can text me, and I can give that.
Okay, please do.
312-681-9511.
Okay.
And they can also, you know, get in touch with us via the Facebook page.
Okay.
Just message us. And once initial contact is made and I've talked with the donor about the condition of the laptop, then the donor and I would talk about the best method of transport to me.
Okay. Okay.
Because
you want it cleared. You don't want any data on it.
Actually, that's pretty much up to the donor. What I do is I get the laptops. I assess them. You know, if they're working, then if they do have information, I wipe them, and then I reload the necessary programs for the new owner.
Okay.
Yeah, and I have some operating systems, but if it's a laptop that the folks don't have the restore disk, those are important. If anybody has restore disk, that they send them, you know, along with their laptops. But if they don't have those, then I do have the Ubuntu operating system that I can put on the laptop. So as long as the laptop is working, they can be operable for a student. Even if there's, say, a bad hard drive, if there are small things that can be repaired or, you know, bad batteries, that kind of thing, then I can take care of, you know, replacing those and setting the laptops up for their new owners.
Okay. Well, I've got one that I want to donate, but I've got to have Della's help to get some stuff transferred to the new computer. I'll do that. But I'm not sure about the sound quality, so we'll have to check that out because I don't want to give something that's not going to be workable.
Well, and sound quality, honestly, probably doesn't play too much of a factor. I think it's more that they can use it for, you know, finding information on the internet and documents. As long as they can do documents on their laptops, then that's the most beneficial to them.
Okay. Well, that can happen. So I'll get with Della on that issue. That will be good.
Yeah, there's always ways to get around things. Even netbooks. If someone has a netbook, I know they were popular for a while before the tablets came out, and we will take netbooks. I know they're missing CD drives, but I have donated laptops that I use, you know, parts from, and so I can take those optical drives out of those laptops and pop them into an enclosure, and they'll have a working optical drive.
Mm-hmm.
So netbooks are great too, and they're smaller. You know, they're a little bit smaller, so. Easier to transport.
But you will also take cash donations, right?
We will.
Now, is it a tax deductible receipt because you're a nonprofit organization?
Yes. Once I get the laptops, check them out, I send a thank you letter, which is what the sponsor, which the donor uses for their tax purposes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, the cost to go on the safari, that's $2,500 plus the airfare, is that right?
Correct.
And do you happen to know whether the next safari is filled up or is there room for others to go?
Actually, I do know that there is one spot open, and I forget the dates, but I know that Della has those. There's one opening on one of the trips in, I believe, late July.
Okay.
And so I believe the others are full, which is a great thing.
All right. Well, before the show ends, we'll bring Della back on to do some closing words on it. But so we'll will get all that information.
Okay.
So is there a way that people could read stories about these women? I mean, is there something on your website where they can hear about the women and their progress?
Actually, we don't have anything on the website simply because we wouldn't want to have them exploited. But if folks are interested, they can surely contact us, and we'll gladly give them, you know, information. I'll be glad to tell, you know, talk to them about the different students, the stories. You know, that's information that we can share.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you go back yourself each year to take personally these laptops to the girls?
I would love to go back each year, unfortunately, that's not an option for me. However, last year was our first year of taking the laptops, and I did go and personally get to give several of the laptops out, and that was just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when you take these laptops with you, you know, you got to go through customs, yes. You got to go through security, all that kind of stuff. Do they wonder what you're doing?
No. when we initially go through, you know, the airports, we go through, of course, the airport here in the States, and then, you know, wherever we're connecting, and they never question, because generally each person has a laptop, and so, you know, you just put them through the security, you know, you go through security, and there are no questions. Now, when you get to Kenya, if they would stop us, you know, at security going out of the gate, we carry each a laptop, and so, you know, we can claim that laptop as our personal laptop.
Okay.
So that's not a problem.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, let's go ahead and have Brad bring Della back in, and you stay on the call too. Della, are you back?
Hi, Dr. Melanie.
Hi. So to tell our listeners, to kind of wrap it up, tell them again the Facebook address, the website, you know, what can they do?
Okay. Well, we rely on donations. So I do want to say that if you contact us in any way, one of our favorite things in all the world to do is to come to speak to small groups or large groups and give presentations about our work. So I'm happy to travel anywhere that our listeners might be to tell them more about what we're doing. You can find us on the web at alliance-education.org. You can find our Facebook page by putting in Alliance Education Fund. And our email address is office@alliance-education.org, and that's our office email, and I will get that directly. If you have laptops and are interested in donating that, as Vicki said, she handles all of that brilliantly and wonderfully for us. She personally oversees wiping it, sanitizing it, and getting it ready for use in East Africa. And contact her. Her email is laptops@alliance-education.org.
Okay. Well, I thank you both, Vicki and Della. It has been very informative, and I'm hoping that people will contact you, and even if they can't afford to go on a safari and they don't have a laptop, they can still donate.
Please. Yeah. And thank you so much.
Yes, thank you for this opportunity.
You are very welcome. And now, listeners, it's time to wrap up today's show. We learned that girls are forced into marriage in developing countries, but if they get educated, they have fewer children, healthier children that survive past the age of 5, they earn up to 25% more income, and they invest it in their family and their community. Let's all join in this effort. After all, we're all connected. Go to alliance-education.org. Next week, we're going to learn about early onset Alzheimer's. Remember, to help yourself help someone else. Until next week, goodbye for now.
Thank you so much for joining us this week for the Dr. Melanie Show. Please join your host, Dr. Melanie Barton, again next Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. We'll see you next week for another great program.